97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
A great sports mind like Tom Ackerman.
Baseball's really not a hard sport.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
It's like powered by coffee this morning.
Sports, sponsored by McDonald's, reminding you to round up your total for Ronald McDonald House Charities on your next order.
Hey, Tom Ackerman, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on? Ryan Recker. Boy, we go back a long ways, buddy. How are you?
It goes back. I'm doing good. You know, I hope you're doing well as well. It's an interesting time in sports. You get NFL starting up soon. Unfortunately for the Cardinals, not a lot of fans are optimistic or happy with the way things have played out this year. And I saw one headline in Yahoo Sports say, Cardinals writer believes Nolan Arenado has played final game in St. Louis. Do you think it's not moving at the trade deadline, but now going on in the IL means it's over for him for the year at least?
Well, I don't know. We'll see. He's been dealing with a number of ailments. So, you know, it could well be. I don't know if it's his final game as a Cardinal. He's still under contract. So, you know, he has to be traded or go somewhere else. And the last time they tried to trade him, he rejected the trade. And I'm not sure how much value he has out on the trade market. I mean, guy makes a lot of money. His offensive skills have diminished. He's a great defensive player. I love him. Watching him play third, but you know who's going to actually make the deal for him unless the Cardinals eat some of that salary, which I don't think they're willing to do. But they'd like to. They've wanted to move him before to give themselves some salary relief. So it's possible. Anything's possible. I think the best case scenario, if you're a Cardinals fan, is that you have third base available for some other players, some younger players, to give that thing a run here in 2026. That's what they wanted to do in 25. And it's not to say that Arenado doesn't belong here. He's just, you know, blocking some younger players from taking that position. I think in the meantime, you just appreciate that you have Nolan Arenado. He's going into the Hall of Fame. He's going to go into Cooperstown. You get a chance to see a player like that. It is a shame that when they made those two huge trades, Paul Goldschmidt and then Nolan Arenado, you couldn't do anything with it. You know, in 22, they won the division. It was a great year. Goldschmidt won the MVP. Arenado finished high for the MVP. I think he finished third in the voting. It was a great year for those two. And then there was nothing in the playoffs. They couldn't come through in the series against the Phillies. And then everything just sort of deteriorated from there. So it's a tough deal because you had such promise with those two great players. I mean, at the time, the Cardinals had two of the best players in baseball in their infield at first and third.
Yeah. One thing that the Cardinals do a fantastic job at, and there's always going to be a lot of people that are never satisfied when it comes to trade deadline. And, you know, there's a lot of questions what could have been. But one thing I think the Cardinals may have a great track record, man, do they pick some guys that people love. Like, these are well-loved athletes that really the city can get behind. They seem like good dudes. They seem to pick those type of people.
Well, you'd like to think so. I mean, really, what it comes down to now with fans is they just want to win. I mean, they want to have good players to root for, obviously. You don't want to pick a bunch of bad people out there. But you want these players to flourish. I mean, Jordan Walker, there isn't a better guy than that. I mean, he's a nice guy. He's got a great family. He's, you know, a hard worker. He's a terrific athlete. They might have moved him up a little too soon and tried to teach him to play right field on the fly. And, you know, maybe he just doesn't have that timing down at the plate that he could have used more minor leagues at the time. You know, the fans want him to produce at this point. The Cardinals have to just go back to developing players the right way. And that this is the problem that they have, is that they develop players too quickly, or they draft talent and they identify talent. These are really good players and they let them get away. And other teams end up getting them, and they go on to have great careers elsewhere. The Cardinals have to go back to drafting, developing, retaining, meaning they draft them, they develop them, they bring them through the minor leagues, and then they end up signing them to extensions and keep them once they become great. That's how you develop a powerhouse. You develop your own talent, like Yadier Molina and Albert Pujols and Adam Wainwright, who they traded for. They didn't draft Waino, but they got him when he was a minor leaguer from the Braves. This is how the Cardinals have become great. They have to go back to that. And that has been an issue for them, major issue for them, over, I'd say, a decade of just they haven't identified, and they have now, what the problem is. They didn't put the resources into the minor leagues like they should have. They thought it would never break, and it did, and everybody else passed them. So now it's time to get back to what they used to be. a franchise, an organization that everybody wants to model their own system after. And the Cardinals have to seek what that is. That team right now is the Milwaukee Brewers. The Milwaukee Brewers are a mid-sized market with not a high payroll, but somehow they have the best record in baseball. How is that? How do they have a better record than these teams with enormous payrolls? Because they have a system in place. They believe in it. They draft, develop their players. And then you know what they do when those players get really good? They ride them out for a couple years. And then when they decide, I'm not sure the next 5 years are going to be great enough, so they trade those players. And it rubs people the wrong way at first, teammates, fans, and everything else. But they sure bring out a great product every year. I mean, they trade away some really good players, but somehow they always replenish. That's where the Cardinals need to get.
I mean, we have such a rebuilding year, it seems like, next season. And I know you were talking about how Liam Doyle might be ready to even play as soon as next year. I guess if they can develop him in this offseason that's coming up here.
I like him.
I mean, is that the secret, is just getting guys like that and trying to develop them and get them out there to play?
That's different because Doyle was the fifth pick in the draft. The Cardinals won't have that high of a pick every year. That's a rare thing where you have J.J. Weatherholt, 7, Liam Doyle, 5. Doyle was the number one starter for Tennessee, so he will be – I still see him down the road in his life as a closer. I don't know why. I see that in him. He has closer-type mentality and stuff, but he has a lot of different pitches, so it's natural to want to use him as a starter because that was his success in college. But he's ready to go take the next step, I think, pretty quickly. Weatherholt, the same. He's ascended very quickly through the minor leagues because he was a really good college player. He's more experienced than a Jordan Walker who you just took out of high school and had to develop through the minor leagues. These top really good college players that you can take when they're in their 20s and teach them in the minor leagues. It's a shorter window, I think, for them. So, yes, I agree with you, but they won't have that high of a pick, I don't think,
moving forward.
The foreseeable future. Mm-hmm. They're going to go back to eventually a mid-first-round pick. But, yeah, I mean, those players are awesome. What you want to find is the diamonds in the rough. Yadier Molina, 4th round. Albert Pujols, 13th round. You know, some of these guys that you can grab in the mid-rounds and develop them into superstars.
It's amazing. Real quick, because of somewhat of a controversial move last weekend, St. Louis City Soccer Club removed a fan who was wearing a Make America Great Again hat. It's got national attention now, and the soccer club has not put out, as far as we know, an official statement. How do you think they should handle this controversy? Because it's getting a lot of people upset and making their club not look in the greatest light.
They're going to have to put out a statement and align with Major League Soccer on it and decide what that exactly is. I don't know what that policy is. I've heard a lot of different reports and speculation on all of that. That's understandable that something would get that much attention because the video certainly grabs your attention. But I got to be honest with you. I'm so tired of politics intersecting with my sports world. I mean, I am a person who likes sports because it unifies everybody. You know, everybody should be able to go see a game and we shouldn't have to talk about all of this. And that happened yesterday or whenever it was last Saturday. Like I'm up here looking at the screen at Sydney Sweeney's ads and everybody's talking about that for weeks and weeks and weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, are we just going to continue this cycle of separating everybody and putting everybody on their side and continuing to fuel the fire on both sides? I'm talking to both sides here. Just can we just enjoy our sports and our entertainment without politicizing everything that ever happens? But I did watch the video. I saw it happen. I'd like to know a little more information. I'm not saying the guy did anything wrong. I'd like to know, like, what led up to that? Why he says that they emailed the team?
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean? So I want to know, like, what an email went to the team, and then who got the email? I need more.
He
I need
said
to
managers,
know.
Which surprised me because I'm like, what managers?
So then would have been somebody was in the crowd and said, "Hey, this guy's wearing a
it's
MAGA
offensive.
Hat. Get him out of here."
Mm-hmm.
What? I mean, a guy wearing a hat? Like, I need a little more information. But did something else happen that I don't know about? So, you know, it all seems kind of and the video was, very eye-opening and certainly worthy of national attention. I can see why that would, get all kinds of attention. But again, I go back to this. It's just like over and over. I have to watch, especially in our sports world, about, you know, sometimes I just like everybody to just play the sport and go watch the sport and be able to go to games without having to deal with all of that.
Real quick, because I know we're kind of out of time, but Lonnie Anderson passing away. Did you watch WKRP in Cincinnati like everyone else did?
Yeah, I was pretty young at that time. I was born in 75, but I do remember it well. And certainly, a huge star that has passed away. We've lost some tremendous stars in the entertainment business.
Well, you're the sports director, so you know a thing or two about sports talent. Apparently on WKRP in Cincinnati, Les Nessman also handled the sports on that radio station. And another very popular TV radio station was Frasier. It was KACL, and who did sports there was Bob the Bulldog Briscoe. Who would you rather have doing sports on KMOX, Bob the Bulldog or Les Nessman?
Man, it's tough. I mean, both great. I'd probably put them in some sort of contest to see who has the best and let the listeners decide, because it's really, you know, when you have two great talents like that, it really comes down to the listeners. You know, let's just vote one of them out of there.
Yeah. Got to take it one broadcast at a time.
They're both great. I mean, who would you pick? I don't know. I don't know if I'd pick one over the other.
I'm a classic Les Nessman, because keep in mind, he was the Silver Sow Award winner. What was the award that it was something like that. But how could you go against WKRP in Cincinnati in a situation
really.
Like that?
Yeah, you can't really. No. But it's a good contender that you brought up from Frasier.
Yeah. Well, the play-by-play of the turkey drop, I think, is his resume
sports. That's what puts it over the edge. I mean, it's just such a classic clip. That continues to, every time I open up Twitter, it's somewhere in my scroll, like somewhere in there.
Well, now that we're talking about it, it'll be over everyone's feed, because this is what happens.
Our
phones listen to us, and then that's what it feeds you.
Exactly. And then somebody will politicize it. Somebody on the left or the right will be like, oh, that's so whatever, you know.
Tom Ackerman, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank
we really appreciate
thank you,
it.
Tom.
Get more at 971talk.com.